It's 6:45 of Matt Morneau. A years-long effort to reform eminent domain law in Texas fell short yet again this legislative session. As Houston Public Media's Travis Bubenik reports, state lawmakers ran out of time to reach a compromise on an issue that's pitted the energy industry against landowners.
Reform advocates say landowners need a fairer process for negotiating when companies try to condemn their land for things like oil and gas pipelines. The latest effort, a bill from Republican Senator Louise Colquhoust, hit a wall when Colquhoust opposed changes to her bill in the House that she said could have made things worse for landowners. Jeremy Fuchs is with the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, which agreed the changes were bad. He says the timing of the failure is unfortunate given the current pipeline building boom going on across the state.
It could have helped a lot of people over the next 2 years who are going to be confronted with this before the next legislative session.
Oil and gas companies argued the bill would have unfairly stalled pipelines and hurt the state's economy. The Texas Oil and Gas Association says it regrets a, quote, balanced and functional bill wasn't reached. In Houston, I'm Travis Bubenik.
Tonight on television from KRWG Public Media at 7 o'clock, it's Issues and Answers Immigration. The program explores the recent surge of migrants at the border. Fred Martino talked with Edith Tapia of the Hope Border Institute and Nia Rucker of the American Civil Liberties Union. In this preview, Rucker says ACLU New Mexico focuses on immigrant rights.
Our local office is also interested in border militarization and in border checkpoints and the way that the Border Patrol treats people in this community. Because of that, we have been involved with some of the migrant drop-offs that have been here in Las Cruces. We regularly go to different migrant shelters and talk to people about their rights. Although we are obviously, we're interested in everybody's civil rights. And so when people are visiting from or are migrants here in the United States, we want everyone to know what their rights are and while they're here.
And I'm sure we'll get to a lot more detail on that from audience questions and as our forum continues. Edith, I know one policy that has been challenged is the Trump administration's so-called Remain in Mexico policy that would keep people in Mexico who are seeking asylum in the United States, a right that they have to be able to do that. Let's talk about that.
Yes, well, thank you for the opportunity, Fred. Yes, the Remain in Mexico program is also called the Migration Protection Protocols. That is officially its name. But we refuse to call it that because nowhere in that process is there protection for migrants or protocols. So essentially, in the beginning of the year, the government put forward this policy that would, in fact, force people, mostly Central American migrants, to wait for their process, their asylum process, while in Mexico. What we have seen so far is that several thousand migrants have been pretty randomly selected from the Northern Triangle to be placed into this program. And we've seen that also that includes pregnant women oftentimes, people who would be otherwise considered vulnerable populations. They end up in this process where after they are originally processed, then they're sent back to Mexico to wait for the first court. So at that point, they're supposed to show up to the middle of the bridge. They are processed. They're then transported into an immigration court and essentially have a hearing there. After that, they are returned and so on and so forth. So it essentially, this puts a lot of migrants in dangerous conditions to be waiting for their asylum process with little access to counsel, legal counsel. It's nearly impossible for attorneys to be able to reach clients there and just talk to them about their rights and what the process is like. It also puts them at risk. You know, they're oftentimes flagged as migrants already. And we've been seeing that as crime rates, and Molly can talk more about this, as crime rates in Juarez rise again, they are targeting, and they're very vulnerable for migrants in the community.
And as I just understand it, I mean, the city is overwhelmed.
Yes, it is. There's been a lot of response from local faith leaders as well, mm-hmm. and civil society in Ciudad Juarez that have been able to tend to some of the necessities for arriving migrants and return migrants. So if you think about the process of Remain in Mexico, which again, it's this cycle that just kind of keeps putting people back in harm's way rather than processing their right to seek asylum in a way that is able to secure them at least, you know, some protection. What is happening in Ciudad Juarez is that The return migrants are in addition to the arriving migrants. So if you're already thinking about what we have called in terms of the metering system for asylum seekers, that is a result of the turnback policy that had been placed since last summer. Migrants who are coming here to seek asylum are having to write their name on a list. So right now the list has about 15 or something thousand people. 10,000 or so have been processed so far. So that means that there's about 5,000 or so migrants, only about less than 1,000 in shelters. So that leaves 4,000 migrants have been arriving who are, have either left, found another way of going, you know, seeking asylum, or are waiting there. So that's already a population of 4,000 migrants. And then you add the return population, that's another 3,000.
That was Fred Martino speaking with Edith Tapia of the Hope Border Institute and Nia Rucker of ACLU New Mexico.